Shalom. Today's Daf Yomi is Nida Daf Mem Gimel Nida 43. And today's Daf Yomi, we learn in the middle of the page of Mem Gimel Amud Aleph that Shmuel taught the following thing. Shmuel said, "Amar Shmuel kol shechva zera shein kol gufo margish ba, any male seed that the entire body does not feel or shake when the seed leaves its original source, ain matame, then it's not going to be able to transmit ritual impurity." And the commentaries point out, we're not talking about an emission or ejaculation during intercourse, but rather that is not during intercourse. So if the seed somehow leaves the body, then it does not transmit ritual impurity if the person does not feel it. My time, and what's the reason for this law? The reason is, says the Gemara, because it says with respect to the laws of ritual impurity of male seed, which are discussed in the Torah, Leviticus chapter 15, verse 16, it says, "Ve'ish ki teitze mimenu shechva zera v'rachatz b'mayim v'tamei ara arev," that a person from whom this male seed leaves his body. And so says the Gemara, "Amar Rachmana, Shechva Zera," which teaches us, in order for it to be able to transmit ritual impurity, it has to be capable of producing a child. And so if the seed leaves her body, according to the Talmud, without a feeling, then it wouldn't have enough potency in order to make a child. As a result of this, it does not transmit ritual impurity. So the Talmud challenges this teaching of Shmuel, because we learned in the Mishnah in Tractate Mikvos, Chapter 8, Mishnah 3, it states, if somebody was Hayamahara Balaila, if somebody was having a dream at night and the dream caused him to have an emission, he caused him to release seed, Va'amad Umatza Besarocham, and when he stood up from his sleep and he found that his male member was warm, was more than usual, and then we say under those circumstances, even though he didn't find the seed, any evidence of seed, we say he's tamei, that he is ritually impure. And the reason why we say he's ritually impure is because we're concerned that maybe the seed left his body and was lost. And we see from here that we are of the opinion, according to this Mishnah, that the male seed is able to transmit ritual impurity even if there's no feeling, because this person didn't feel anything. So this is a contradiction to Shmuel's teaching, who says only if something is felt does it transmit ritual impurity. So Targum Rav Huna b'mishamash mitaso b'chalomo, the efshar l'shamash bo hargasha. So Rav Huna's answer to this contradiction is, no, it's talking about a specific case where the person was having a dream, and in his dream, this person was engaged in intercourse. And so therefore, we say that since it's not possible to have intercourse without feeling something, so he must have felt it, and he must have felt it in the dream without realizing it. And so therefore, that's why it's not a contradiction to Shmuel. So the Gemara then says, another explanation, which an alternative version, is that Shmuel said, "Kol shechva zera she'eino yorek kachetz," any male seed that does not burst forth like an arrow does not transmit ritual impurity. So, my ika bein ha'ilishna la'ilishna. What's the distinction between these two opinions? Ika beinayo, the difference between them is with respect to seed that was ne'ekra bahargasha, that a person noticed it when it left its source. However, the yatsa shalom bargasha, but it left his body without any feeling. So since it was nekra bargasha, since he noticed it when it left its source, therefore, even though he doesn't notice it when it leaves its body, it's going to depend upon which of these two positions. In this context, the Gemara also shares another teaching, that by Rava, that Rava had a question. He says, Zava shenekro mimei regleha, that if you have a woman who is having her flow from her body, and basically, shenekru meimei regleha, that she felt that the urine left its source, but it still didn't leave her body. V'yarda v'tavla, and then this woman went down and immersed, and she went to be purified from her flow. And then afterwards, she went outside the mikvah, and then the urine went out. Mao, what's the case under those circumstances? Do we say, imtim salomar basar akira azlinan? Do we follow the initial departure of the urine from its source? If that's the case, and so therefore, since we go after the initial source, Do we therefore say that this was the urine of the Zava, and so therefore it would become Tamei? Or do we say, Hani Mili, this idea that we follow the initial removal, that's with respect to the male seed, the Shechvazer, the Lamatzi Naka'a, that because once it leaves its initial source, he can't stop it from leaving. But urine of the Zava, she can hold it back. She can wait another hour and keep it in. So therefore, we don't say it's the same case that once it departs from its source. Or maybe the law with respect to urine is the same as that with respect to male seed, that once we feel it leaving its initial source, we say that it's tamei, and therefore if the woman's urinating the urine from her body even after she went to the mikvah, it will become a state of ritual impurity because it was already the urine of a zava. So we see from here, says the Ravan, the early medieval Germanic source, he writes that a woman is supposed to urinate when she's in nida before she goes into the mikvah, because Rava is unsure that maybe this urine that she has in her body has the tumah of a zava. Therefore, a woman ideally should urinate before going into the mikvah in order to fulfill this stringency. And so therefore, that is the practice, that before a person goes to the mikvah, the person should be diligent to evacuate their fluids from their body if they go to the bathroom beforehand.